Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Viewers, this is the 20th topic of this series in which we have been discussing the transmission and collection history of the Quran. In the previous topic, we had discussed the collection history of the Quran as described by the Quran itself and pointed out by a distinguished scholar of the subcontinent, Imam Hamiduddin Farahi. We had seen in the previous topic how the Quran itself has described that it shall be collected by the Almighty. And the various installments which have been revealed piecemeal, they shall be brought together in a unified whole. And then the Quran shall be recited by the Almighty in its new sequence, and the Prophet would be required to follow this new sequence and abandon the previous one. And the verse that we had discussed, since it's a very important verse in this regard, or the group of verses that we discussed in this regard, I'd just like to point them out once again before you. And that is لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآن فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآن ثم إن علينا بيانا. O Prophet, do not move your tongue to hastily acquire this Quran. Indeed, upon us is its collection and recital. So when we have recited it, follow this recital. Then upon us is to explain it. So this is how we had gathered in the previous topic, that basically the Quran would be collected once again at the end by the Almighty and brought together in a unified whole, and then this reading or this recital with its new arrangement shall be transferred to the next generations through the companions. Viewers, it needs to be understood that there are some details regarding the transmission of the Quran and the way this mechanism took place in history. But before I describe the mechanism of the transmission of the history of the Quran, I would like, or the text of the Quran, I would like to point out certain characteristics of this final recital and the way it has been recorded in our history and hadith books, as well as certain other reference books, because this will put the whole discussion in its proper perspective. So the actual discussion or description of the transmission of the Quran shall begin later. But for the moment in this episode, I'd like to describe before you certain other details and characteristics and features of this reading of the Quran. So as I said, according to this verse, it was this final arrangement of the Quran with its recital, which was transferred to the next generations by the companions. And again, we will see how this transfer took place. But for the moment, we need to realize that there are certain characteristics. And of course, as I said earlier on, that this final reading was actually the reading which had abrogated all previous readings, if there were any readings in the first chronological revelation of the Quran. And as we shall see in the later episodes, many of the remnants of these chronological sequence readings are still found in our hadith and tafsir books. And they are actually the remnants of these chronological readings. But as I said, the Quran has explicitly directed to abandon all the previous readings and follow the final recital of the Quran. Now, it needs to be understood that it is only this reading and only this recital which is found today in the Muslim Ummah, all over the Muslim Ummah, except a dozen or so countries which have a different reading of the Quran. And the reading that is found generally in all over the Ummah is erroneously ascribed to Hafs, or we could say that it is ascribed to Hafs because of a certain reason. But later on, we shall come to the reason why actually this reading came to be described as the reading of Hafs. And as far as the reading found in those dozen Muslim countries, which is different from the one that we are aware of, we shall also discuss the reasons and also how it came to be found there. But as far as a very, very large chunk of Muslim population is concerned, it has been reading this very reading which the Almighty had directed the companions to transfer, or the Almighty or the Prophet to transfer to the next generation. Our earliest scholars called this reading to be Al-Qira'atul Amma, or the reading of the masses. And it was actually introduced in their books, in their treatises, and in their history as the Al-Qira'atul Amma. And we find the mention of Al-Qira'atul Amma being in various books, and it is being referred to in detail in the earliest Muslim books. And it is actually this reading, Al-Qira'atul Amma, about which we will discuss some more details just now before we will discuss in the later episodes how this Al-Qiraatul Amma came to be transferred to the Muslim Ummah and how it got the name of Qiraatul Hafs actually. And Hafs, of course, here refers to the student of Asim ibn Ibn Nujud, one of the students of Asim, and it became famous by his name. And that we shall discuss later on. But actually, it is this very reading which was initially referred to by our earliest scholars as Al-Qiraatul Amma. Viewers, in this regard, I would also like to tell you that there are certain references which are found in our books, which I just referred to, regarding this Al-Qiraatul Amma. And one of the earliest authority to specify the fact that this initial reading of the Quran or the initial transfer of the Quran, which took place through the companions after the Prophet had actually given or consigned this reading to them, was called Qiraatul Amma. And the earliest reference that we can find in this regard, or one of the earliest authorities which has referred to in this name, is actually Abu Abdul Rahman As-Sulami. And Abu Abdul Rahman As-Sulami, who died in 73 or Hijrah or so, he was the person who taught the Quran for 40 years, in Kufa. And this began from the time of the Caliph Uthman and right up to the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. These details can be found in history. So now I'm going to read out what is attributed to Abu Abdul Rahman As-Sulami, and this has actually been recorded by Zarkashi in his Al-Burhan. The words are that Zarkashi has actually described. He writes, قال أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي كانت قراءة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وزيد بن ثابت والمهاجرين والأنصار واحدة كانوا يقرؤون القراءة العامة وهي القراءة التي قرأها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على جبريل مرتين في العام الذي قبض فيه وكان زيد قد شهد العرضة الأخيرة وكان يقرئ الناس بها حتى مات. So Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami said, the reading of Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman and Zayd ibn Thabit and that of all the Muhajirun and the Ansar was the same. So the Arabic words are wahida, the words are كانت قراءة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وزيد بن ثابت والمهاجرين والأنصار واحدة. It was one. It was a single reading. There was no multiplicity in these readings. So it goes on to say, the excerpt goes on to say, they would read the Quran according to القراءة العامة. Here is the word. Here is this description, or here is this nomenclature being introduced. It was the القراءة العامة. This is the same reading which was read out twice by the Prophet to Gabriel in the year of his death. Zayd ibn Thabit was also present in this reading called the Al-Arza Al-Akhira, and it was this very reading that he taught the Quran to people till his own death. So this is how we find the mention of Al-Qira'atul Amma in earliest being ascribed to the earliest authorities. And if we discuss or take into account what has been just said in this excerpt, I think that we can make a note of the fact that if this excerpt is actually describing some details of what we have actually already gathered in the Surah Qiyamah verses just discussed earlier on. So if we look at this excerpt, we can find some points which are worthy of note. The first point worthy of note is that the reading of all the Muhajirun and all the Ansar was the same. It was Wahida. And the excerpt even names Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, the famous companions of the Prophet. Their reading was the same. There was no multiplicity of reading. So this is the first point worth noting. The second point worth noting is that this reading was called Al-Qira'atul Amma. So the words are Kanu Yaqra'una Al-Qira'atul Amma, which means they were reading the reading of the common masses. The third point of note is that the Al-Qira'atul Amma was the same as the one revised twice in the Al-Arda Al-Akhira, which is the final review. So the final review, whatever was revised, whatever was finalized, this Al-Qira'atul Amma was the same as the one that was read out in the final review, which is called the Al-Arza Al-Akhira. And then we have the fourth point, which actually mentions that Zayd ibn Thabit was also a witness to this final reading. We have some other narratives as well, which tell us that Abdullah ibn Masud also was a witness to this final reading. So one can gather that there were other companions who might have witnessed this reading besides the Prophet himself when it was being finalized by Gabriel. Now, this is what Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami has said. And about Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami, we know that the first person to have selected the seven canonical readings, and he is Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid. So about Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami, Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid says that he had taught the very reading on which Usman had striven to gather the Ummah on. So Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami is the same person about whom we find Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid pointing out that he had read or he was teaching the reading which was the same as the one on which the Caliph Usman had striven to gather the Ummah on. And he writes, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَقْرَى بِالْكُوفَ الْقِرَاءَ الَّذِي جَمَعَ عُثْمَانَ رَزِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami. So the first person who taught the reading in Kufa on which Usman had gathered the people was Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami. And as I said, this is what has been pointed out by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid. Viewers, we have already seen in the light of various narratives that the Quran was revised twice between the Prophet and Gabriel in the last Ramadan before the Prophet himself had passed away. We had discussed reviewed these narratives when we were discussing the issue of the collection of the Quran. So just to recap, we find that this Arza al-Akhira, which is referred to here again by Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami, was the instance in which the Quran was revised twice. So we find various narratives, and one of them is the one I'm just going to read out once again before you. This is recorded by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Jami al-Sahih, and is reported by none else but Abu Huraira himself. So Abu Hurairah, the words are, عن أبي هريرة قال كان يرز على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن كل عام مرة فعرز عليه مرتين في العام الذي قبض فيه. Abu Hurairah stated that the Quran would be presented to the Prophet each year, and the year he died, it was presented to him twice. So there are two important things to note here, that once that the Quran was revealed, whenever the Quran would be revealed, there would be a review between the Prophet and Gabriel each year of the revealed Quran in that whole year. So in various years, we would find Gabriel and the Prophet reviewing and revising the Quran between one another in each of the Ramadans. But in the last Ramadan, in the Ramadan after which the Prophet died, this revision was done twice, which of course gives this clear indication to the fact that the Quran was now complete and everything needed to be correctly memorized and be in its place. So this revision was done twice. And we have seen that it was this very Quran, which according to Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami, which was read. And this was how the Muhajirun and the Ansar had actually gathered. And they were reading the Quran on the very reading which was read out to the Prophet in the final review. And it was a single reading. Now, to give some more references in this regard by various companions, remember viewers, we are not discussing the mechanism of the transmission of the Quran, which is another discussion which I have deferred purposefully, because I wanted to introduce this final reading of the Quran, which is called Al-Qiraatul Amma, the way it is found in our earliest books and referred to by our various authorities, and something which was very well known in the earliest to earliest Muslim scholars. Even later on, we find its reverberations in various books of tafsir, although there is a debate regarding the connotation of the Al-Qiraatul Amma, which perhaps changed later on. But in the earliest period, as I will just show you, the way Al-Qiraatul Amma was referred to by authorities which were even contemporaneous to Hafs ibn Sulaiman, clearly tells us that this is something which was in use. This term was in use for the very qiraat, or the very reading on which the Prophet left the Ummah on. So Samura ibn Jundub, a companion of the Prophet, while referring to this Al-Qiraatul Amma, says that the reading of the people is according to Al-Arza Al-Akhira. Now Samura ibn Jundub, we know he went off to Basra and was appointed his governor in 53 Hijra, and earlier he was also a governor of Kufa. So we know that he was a person who who lived some time in Iraq as well. So he says, according to him, it is said, عن الحسن عن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال أولد القرآن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على ذات فيقولون إن قراءتنا هذه هي الأرض الأخيرة. So Samura ibn Jundub said, the Quran was read out to the Prophet many times. People would say, indeed, this reading of ours is that of the Al-Arza Al-Akhira. This has been pointed out or recorded by Imam Hakim in his Al-Mustadrak. Now, another reference in this regard that I'd like to give is of Abida ibn Amr As-Salamani, who died in 72 Hijrah, and he is a Kufan Tabi'i, a Kufan follower. He, alluding to this Al-Qira'atul Amma, reports that people are reading the same reading in his times that was presented to the Prophet by Gabriel in the year of his death, in the year of the Prophet's death. So this has been recorded by Ibn Abi Shaybah in his Musannaf, and it says, an Abida qal, Al-Qira'a allati 'uridat 'ala an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam allazi qubiza fihi hiya al-Qira'a allati yaqra'uha an-nas al-yawm fihi. Which means that Abida said, the reading on which the Quran was read out to the Prophet in the year of his death is the same according to which people are reading the Quran today. So the point that I'm making is that these earlier Tabi'un, or the successors, or the people following the generation of the companions themselves, are alluding to this very first generation statement made earlier on, that the final review which took place in the Ramadan before the Prophet left us, that the Quran was revised twice and then the reading was consigned to the companions. The Prophet then read this out, and we find authorities telling us that it was this reading of the Al-Arza Al-Akhira which came to be known as the Qira'atul Amma, or the reading of the masses, or reading of the common people. And we find references to this by various authorities. I have already referred to Samura ibn Jundub, and we have Abida ibn Rasalmani. So we have people referring to this. And now let me point out Muhammad ibn Sirin himself. So he is a mawla of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He lived from 34 to 110 Hijrah. He is a Basran jurist of his times, and regards the readings, and he says that that the reading of his times to be the same as that of Al-Arda Al-Akhira. And he records, the words are, Kana Jibril Ya'rizul Qur'an ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kulla amin marratan fi Ramadan. Falamma kana al-aam al-lazi tuwuffiya fihi عرضه عليه مرتين. So it says that كان جبريل يعرض القرآن على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل عام مرة في رمضان فلما كان العام الذي توفي فيه عرضه عليه مرتين. He presented to him twice. قال محمد فأنا أرجو أن تكون قراءتنا الأرض الأخيرة. So Muhammad ibn Sirin said, Gabriel would present the Quran before the Prophet each year in the month of Ramadan. In the year he died, Gabriel presented the Quran to him twice, and I believe that our reading is that of Al-Arda Al-Akhira. So this has been recorded by Ibn Sa'd in his At-Tabaqat Al-Kubra, already referred to earlier, as I said. So this is how we find a person like Ibn Sirin referring to it. And then, viewers, I would like to give another reference in this regard, and he is, and this reference is about Muhammad ibn Qarb al-Kurzi. He is a Tabari of Medina. We have seen people from Basra and Kufa already, and now we have an evidence from Muhammad ibn Qarb al-Kurzi. He is a Tabari of Medina, and he is actually referring to the unanimous reading once again, and that unanimous reading which we have already seen being referred to by Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami as Wahida, as the same. He says, and this has been recorded by Jeffrey in his Muqaddimatan fi Ulum al-Quran, also referred to as Kitab al-Mabani. He says, Ra'aytu masahifa salasa mushafan fihi qira'atu ibn Mas'ud wa mushafan fihi qira'atu Ubay mushafan fihi qira'atu Zayd فَلَمْ أَجِدْ فِي كُلِّمْ مِنْهَا مَا يُخَالِفُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضُ. Which means, I saw three masahif. A mushaf which contained the reading of Ibn Mas'ud, another which contained the reading of Ubay, and another which contained the reading of Zayd. So he was actually referring to the fact that three of the celebrated companions of the Prophet, Ubay, Ibn Mas'ud, and Zayd, he saw Masahif which belonged or which contained the reading of these three companions. And the words which are worthy of note are, in none of them did I find anything contradictory to any of the others. So they were exactly the same, which again tells us how Al-Qira'atul Amma was one, a single Qira'at, and how it was being referred to by the companions. And again, viewers, I'd like to clarify here that it is not through the evidence of these singular reports that we are gathering the fact that Al-Qira'atul Amma was just one, or it was the same by all the companions. That mechanism we shall be discussing in the next episode. But here, what I am referring to the fact is that the reading that was transferred to the Ummah, the way it was transferred would be discussed later, but the reading itself was something which was known as Al-Qira'atul Amma, and was one reading, and it was not to be confused as a group of multiple readings or variant readings. Now, viewers, let me now bring before you how this Al-Qira'atul Amma perhaps became known by the name of Qira'atul Hafs. It certainly became known as Qira'atul Hafs, but the most probable reason in this regard, viewers, that I now like to point out before you is the one that has been pointed out by my own mentor and teacher and a scholar of the Quran, Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. And he, in his certain article of his, has described and analyzed why the reading of the masses or the Al-Qira'atul Amma came to be known as the reading of Hafs, giving us the impression that it is one of the readings from which is transmitted from the Prophet himself. We know that there were several readers besides Hafs. In all, we find actually seven famous readers who had transmitted these readings, these canonical readings, which was chosen by Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid. I have discussed them in a lot of detail in my earlier talks. They can be referred to, all their names, but for the moment, what I am discussing here is that how Al-Qira'atul Amma became to be known as the Qira'at of Hafs. The reason for this is quite apparent, as pointed out by Javed Ahmed Ghamidi. While all reciters exercise their ikhtiyar in reading the Quran, Hafs was the only reciter who did not do so and read the Al-Qira'atul Amma in the accent and intonation of the Arabs by giving due regard to their pronunciation vis-a-vis sukoon, rom, ishmam, ibdal, naql, idgham, hazf, isbat, and ilhaq. And viewers, this is something in my own opinion that this is precisely the reason why he is referred to as siqatun, sabtun, zabitun in reading the Quran. So we have Ibn al-Jazari in his Ghayatul Nihaya and other scholars pointing out the fact, Zahabi in his Ma'rifatul Qurra al-Kibar, that he is sikatun, sabtun, zabitun in reading the Quran, in filqira, which means that he reads the Quran in such a brilliant way. Of course, it refers to his memory as well, but also to the fact that he was a person who would read the Quran in a very precise way, the way the Arabs would read it. So, according to Ghamidi, this was the reason why the Al-Qira'atul Amma slowly lost or gradually lost its original name and came to be known by the Qira'at of Hafs or the Riwayah of Hafs. Now, viewers, I have already pointed this out that as far as some of the contemporaneous scholars are concerned who lived contemporaneously with Imam Hafs, we can clearly see that they were using the term of Qira'atul Amma as well. So one can argue that that after Imam Hafs, or maybe in the last years of his life when he would have become famous, could this Qira'atul Amma have transformed its name from Qira'atul Amma to the Qira'atul Hafs or the Riwayah of Hafs? But what about people who were living contemporaneous with Hafs himself? They could not have used Al-Qira'atul Amma in any other sense. So if they were using Al-Qira'atul Amma in their works, and these people were almost contemporaneous, some even lived before him, some contemporaneous to him, some right after him, they used the word Al-Qira'atul Amma in their works, And this, to me, clearly refers to the fact that it was something which was known till the time of Hafs as Al-Qiraatul Amma, and subsequently it was changed later on as the Qiraatul Hafs. And also we know that people have pointed out this fact that Al-Qiraatul Amma itself later on changed its connotation. But this could have taken place later. It could not have taken place in the time of Hafs or in the time this existed in contemporaneous to Hafs, because this is how Al-Qiraatul Amma proceeded right from the earliest authorities. Now, as far as these people are concerned, I have tried to gather that there are at least four such authorities who use the word Al-Qiraatul Amma, and all these four authorities are contemporaneous to Imam Hafs, and they use the word Al-Qiraatul Amma. And as I said just earlier on, that later on, as pointed out by As-Sakhawi, that the term Qiraatul Amma was used in a different connotation, but of course that was later on. We know that he has said that it was used for the reading on which the people of Medina and Kufa were gathered, and at times it was the reading of the Al-Haramain, which was also called by this name. But this is how As-Sakhawi in his time has said that this was the later history. But clearly what we are talking about is the earliest history of Al-Qiraatul Amma. And as I said, I am referring you to four very famous authorities of their times who were contemporaneous to Hafs. And till that time, what I am trying to say is the name of Al-Qiraatul Amma was still in vogue. And because these authorities were in the same period, almost the same period, they existed and lived in the same period as Imam Hafs. So one of them is Khalil ibn Ahmad, the famous grammarian. I've already discussed him when we were discussing in an earlier topic, the diacritics and the vowel sounds, insertion of certain vowel signs in the script of the Quran. So Khalil ibn Ahmad, he lived from 100 to 170 Hijra. And then we have his student, the grammarian Sibawayh. He lived from 148 to 180 Hijra. And we have then Sibawayh's own student, Al-Akhfash al-Awsat, who died in 210 Hijra. We know that Hafs died in 180 Hijra. So make a note of this, that the period of Hafs can be seen to be the second century, the later part of the second century. And these are the people who are almost contemporaneous to him. The third third person, Al-Akhfash al-Awsat. And then we have the famous philologist, Imam Farra. He lived from 144 to 207 Hijra. And he is also almost the same time as Imam Hafs himself. So Imam Khalil ibn Ahmad al-Farahidi, he's also the author of the famous Kitab al-Ayn. Sibawayh the grammarian, he is the author of the founding book and the Bible of Arabic grammar, if I may call it. It's called Al-Kitab by Sibawayh. And then we have the genre of Ma'an al-Qur'an by Akhfash and by Al-Farra. We have these names of books by other authors as well, by Al-Akhfash and by Al-Farra we have Ma'an al-Qur'an. So let me just give you some details and some references from their works, which would tell us that Al-Qiraatul Amma in their works also is referred to and are also alluded to by these authorities. So first, let me take up Khalil ibn Ahmad. So Khalil ibn Ahmad, he in his Kitab al-Ayn, the references to Kitab al-Ayn. So while commenting on the declensions of verse 117 of Surah al-Baqarah, he says that the word Badi'u samawati wal ard, we know that in Surah al-Baqarah, Badi'u samawati wal ard is declined in the nominative. He says that it was read as Badi'u samawati, as also connoting amazement. Ala jihat al-ta'ajjub, he says. We know that nasab, ala jihat al-ta'ajjub, is something which does occur. He then says that the Qiraatul Amma is with the rafa, nominative case, and which means badi'u samawati wal, and is more correct as well. He's also given his preference. So he says that badi'u samawat is also, has been read by certain qaris, but the Qiraatul Amma is actually Badi'u Samawati Wal Ard. And this, of course, is the case, that the Qiraatul Amma that we know of today is actually Badi'u Samawati Wal Ard. And he has also given preference to it. Now, let me give you an example from Sibawayh. So Sibawayh in his Al-Kitab, he says, while observing that some people have read the verse, this is verse 2 of Surah Nur, the famous verse, of Surah An-Nur, and then we have another verse 38 of Surah Maidah. So he says that it has been read as was-sariqa was-sariqa and az-zaniyata was-zaniya in the accusative with the nasab. And he says that the amma only read it in the nominative, which means as-sariqu was-sariqatu, zaniyatu was-zani in the nominative case. And we know that this is the qiraatul amma. So again, we find this reference in Sibuwayz al-Kitab. And then let me give you more examples. This example is from Al-Akhfash al-Awsat actually. And he, while stating that some have read verse 259 of Surah Baqarah as أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ with a jazm on the first word as أَعْلَمُ, he says the Qiraatul Amma is actually in the nominative, which is what I just read, أَعْلَمُ. So he says, although that there are some people who have read the word alam with a jazm, but the qiraatul amma is a'lamu annallaha ala kulli shayin kadir. And this he has pointed out in his Ma'anil Quran. So viewers, this is the third example that I have given, or the third person who refers to the qiraatul amma in his verse. Now let me come to Imam Farah, and he has copiously referred to qiraatul amma in his treatise. Again, it is also called Ma'anil Quran. And to give you some more examples so that it becomes familiar to our earliest, to you, that our earliest authorities were referring to this reading of the Quran as al-qiraatul amma. He says that verse 58 of Surah Araf, while citing that verse, he says that this particular verse, in which the words are وَالَّذِي خَبُسَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدَ, he says that some people have read the word as nakada, whereas the qiraatul amma is nakida. So in other words, he has said that even the morphological pronunciation of the word nakida is correct, recorded by the qiraatul amma as nakida, but there are some people of Medina who read it as nakada. So he clearly says that qiraatul amma in this case is nakida. This he has cited in his Ma'an al-Quran. Now, to give you some more examples from Imam Farra's Ma'an al-Quran, another example that he gives is that verse 21 of Surah Ali Imran. He says that innal ladhina yakfuruna bi ayatillahi wa yaqtuluna an-nabiyyin. He says that this is the qiraatul amma, whereas the alternative qiraat that he mentions is of yuqatilun. So yaqtulun has been read by yuqatilun, but he clearly says that yaqtulun is actually the qiraatul amma. Then he points out Surah Yunus, verse 22, and says that yusayyurukum is the reading which is the qiraatul amma, but people have also read it as yunshirukum. Another example that he gives is of Surah Yunus, again verse 27, and says the actual qiraatul amma is ka'annama ughshiyat wujuhuhum qita'an. And the other alternative is qit'an. Qit'an is the word that he is actually discussing. Qit'an is what he's, according to him, is found in the qiraatul amma. And all these examples actually are correctly portraying the qiraatul amma as well. Another example that he gives is again from Yunus, Surah Yunus, and verse 58. And he says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. So he says, "Fal yafrahu" is the reading of the is the qiraatul amma, whereas the other alternative reading is "fal tafrahu." Still another example is verse 114 of Surah Hud, and this time the example is from the verse from the words are "zulafa min al-layl." He says that this is the qiraatul amma, whereas the other example or the other alternative reading in this regard is "zuluf" instead of zulufan. So there is the zuluf, the word, the lam is declined in the nominative. Still another example, viewers, is verse 34 of Surah Ibrahim, and it says وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. The alternative reading, he says that this is the qiraatul amma. The other reading is وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. So this is the other reading that he has cited. Then we have an example from Surah Qasas, verse 82. He says the qiraatul amma is la khasafa bina, whereas the other reading is la khusifa bina. And then finally, another example that he gives is that of verse 19 of Surah Yasin. He says a in zukkirtum is the qiraatul amma, but we have another alternative as a an zukkirtum. So viewers, the purpose that I am giving these examples is because of the fact that we have people We should be aware of the fact that our earliest authorities copiously referred to the final reading of the Quran, whose transmission we have yet to discuss, but they very well knew that it was called the Qiraatul Amma, and it was a singular reading of the Quran, and it comprised a specific reading of the Quran, and there were no variants of these readings. Viewers, also I would like to give another interesting information to you in this regard, that it can be argued that even after few generations after Imam Hafs, we can find the mention of Qiraatul Amma in the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Bukhari himself. It can be argued that actually what the words that I'm going to just cite are actually the words which have been reported by his own Shaykh, and he is Nasr ibn Ali ibn Nasr. That's another technical detail that we can clearly gauge by gathering all the variants of this narrative. If we gather all the variants of this narrative, it becomes quite clear that the word that I'm just that the word of Qiraatul Amma, which I'm just going to read before you, which is discussed or mentioned in this narrative, is actually the word of Imam Bukhari's Shaykh. But again, if Imam Bukhari died in 256 Hijra and Hafs died in 180, we can say that the Shaykh of Imam Bukhari died somewhere in between, and this could be a couple of generations, maybe one generation or two generations just after Imam Hafs, and we still have that word being clearly used. So this narrative is recorded by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Jami' al-Sahih, and it is reported by Abdullah ibn Masud, and it says, "An Abdullah radiallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qara fa hal min muddakir misla qira'atil amma." So Abdullah reports that the Messenger of God read fa hal min muddakirin, which of course is a verse of Surah Qamar, and it says, which is like the qira'atul amma. We know that the Qiraatul Amma is Halme Muddakir. So viewers, this clearly shows that the word Qiraatul Amma was referred to a couple of generations right after Hafs as well. Interestingly, another example also once again from Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami' al-Sahih is the fact while he was discussing verse 184 of Surah Baqarah, he himself refers, in this narrative actually refers to the fact that yutikunahu is the Qiraatul Amma, and we know that this is the case, and this is cited by Imam Bukhari in one of his chapter headings. So viewers, I can go on to give some more references and even argue that some of the later generations of scholars have actually cited Qiraatul Amma. I can cite Zamakhshari, I can cite lexicographers like Zubaydi in his Tajul Uruz, Ibn Manzur in his Lisan al-Arab, other exegetes like Ibn Jarir Tabri and Imam Razi, all referring to Al-Qiraatul Amma in their own times in some form or the other. And in many cases, it is the same as the Al-Qiraatul Amma that we know today. But as we know, that this connotation later on changed. So I'm not going to make my case by arguing from their works, which of course are later works and about which we can have two opinions. But what I have posited here is that people who are contemporaneous to Imam Hafs himself, till the time that the Qiraatul Amma was still called Al-Qiraatul Amma, and it was yet to be transferred or given the new name of Qiraat Hafs, we can see that scholars contemporaneous to Imam Hafs referring to Al-Qiraatul Amma as the reading which was the one which the Prophet left behind and asked his companions to deliver or to transfer to the rest of the Ummah. So summing up, viewers, this episode actually revolved around the fact that I'd want you to point out that the earliest authorities refer to the final reading of the Quran as the Al-Qiraatul Amma, and it was well known to the earlier authorities. Only later on, for certain reasons which I just cited, did it become known as the Qiraatul Hafs. Inshallah, in the next episode, we will now discuss how this Qiraatul Amma was transferred to the later generations, and how we, in our own knowledge of history, can gather that the process of the transmission of the text of the Quran took place. So that would be the topic of the next episode. Until then, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.